Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive on what has become a busy football day. The Bills have signed an offensive lineman, Spencer Long, former fourth-round pick of the Washington Redskins. Spencer Long signed with the Bills after being released just last week by the New York Jets. I apologize, he was a third-round pick of the Washington Redskins back in 2014. 1 year with the Jets, released last Tuesday, signed as a free agent by the Buffalo Bills today. Spencer Long with 44 NFL starts over his NFL career, 5 years so far. Spencer Long signed to a contract by the Buffalo Bills for 3 years, the terms not disclosed. Bills also re-signed one of their top special teams performers from last year, Lafayette Pitts, agreeing to terms on a new contract to stay with the Buffalo Bills. Around the NFL, Antonio Brown has reportedly officially requested a trade from the Pittsburgh Steelers, according to ESPN. The talented wide receiver also issued a tweet in which he thanked Steelers fans and said it is time to move on. Tampa Bay Buccaneers released Vinny Curry today. The 8-year defensive end spent one season with them. It comes 4 weeks before the start of free agency. Curry now an unrestricted free agent. The Bucs signed him last March after he'd been released by the defending champion Philadelphia Eagles after a couple of good solid years with the Eagles. Vinny Curry began the season as the Bucs starting left end but was sidelined for 4 games at midseason. And the Houston Texans stint with Demaryius Thomas lasted just 7 games. The Texans expected to release the receiver later today. Houston sent a fourth-round pick in the draft this year to the Denver Broncos just before the October trade deadline last year for Demaryius Thomas. The team's also changing seventh-round draft picks. Kyler Murray announced yesterday that he is firmly and fully committed to play in the NFL, putting aside his baseball hopes. The Heisman Trophy winner, though, subject of some dot connecting, his agent is also the agent for Cardinals' new head coach, Cliff Kingsbury. And that doesn't have a factor in the Cardinals' plans. Sabres play tonight, home game, number 6 of their 7-game homestand, and a couple of college basketball games. UB plays at Akron, and St. Bonaventure plays at St. Joe's. And that is the update from One Bills Drive. As we said, it's become a kind of a busy day around the National Football League. And to join us now to help us sort out some of it, frequent guest of the show, good friend of the show, is the ESPN NFL Nation reporter covering the Jets. 30 years covering the New York Jets. Happy to have Rich Cimini, ESPN writer Rich Cimini, on the line with us. Rich, John Murphy and Steve Tasker up here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, guys. Good to be here.
A lot to talk about, including Spencer Long. What can you tell us about him? What are the Bills getting?
Yeah, I mean, that was a quick turnaround for Spencer. So the Jets released him last week. He was going to be due a $3 million roster bonus on top of the $3.5 million salary that was going to come later in the season. And the Jets decided to move on, obviously, and obviously it didn't take long for him to find a new home. You know, he had a rough year last year with the Jets, I think partly because of an injury. He had what we later found out to be a damaged tendon in his right hand, his snapping hand, and it bothered him, you know, for a few games. And the worst game, the absolute worst game, was Jets at Miami right around mid-season. I guess he banged it a certain way in the game, and it just aggravated the injury. And I counted, after watching the tape, there were no fewer than 7 shotgun snaps that were off target, including a couple that were, like, past the quarterback. And so it was a really hard sort of thing to watch. He battled through it, so you admire his toughness. And finally, he got so bad in that game that Todd Bowles finally pulled him out of the game, I think, with a few minutes left in the fourth quarter. I think actually it probably clinched Todd Bowles' ouster, because the criticism for why did you wait so long to take him out of the game kind of really, you know, rallied the fan base against Todd Bowles. But yeah. Spencer, you know, he missed a couple of games, and then when he came back, he played left guard, and he actually did a decent job at left guard. So I think the Bills are getting a guy who can play center and both guard spots, and you know, he's obviously not going to be at a Pro Bowl level at either spot, but I think that versatility is probably something that appeals to the Bills.
Yeah, you know, I watched that game. I watched that game a lot. It was the week before the Bills went to New York and beat the Jets, and I had the same reaction. I was telling Steve, I was thinking, well, what are they thinking? Why did the Jets get him out of there? Clearly something's not right with his snaps, and that struck me that day too. But 44 NFL starts for Spencer Long. Is he an NFL starting caliber offensive lineman, do you think?
you know, he's borderline. You know, I do think the Jets had some interest in bringing him back. They just didn't feel he was worth the $6.5 million that it was going to cost to keep him for the year. And, you know, is he a starter? He's, in my opinion, and from talking to coaches and some people around the league, I think he's probably a stopgap guy. You know, he's probably – now, I didn't have the Bills even said, are they going to play him at center or guard? Has that even come up yet? Or
no, nobody said anything about it yet, no.
Yeah, so – but, you know, he can – the good thing about Spencer is he can play both and do – you know, he's a smart guy. He's a hard worker. We know he's a tough guy because, you know, part of the reason why he didn't come out of that game is just that he wanted to play through that injury and the coaches – you know, let him, which I think was a mistake on the coach's part. Everyone saw what was happening there. But so he is a tough guy. The Bills are going to get that. But, you know, I think he's more of a stopgap guy who can hold the fort until someone else gets in there.
Yeah, we're talking with Rich Cimini, an ESPN NFL Nation reporter who covers the Jets. And as Adam Gase assembles his staff, this staff, and I know this is from a long way, and I've talked to all these guys that he's assembling on the staff, Greg Williams and Joe Vitt, Blake Williams. This staff strikes me as something that, not so much as a coaching staff, but as something that you would light the fuse on and just wait for it to explode. Joe Vitt and Greg Williams were on the 2012 New Orleans Saints staff in the bounty gate, and they have fired shots at each other through the media about who was lying and who said this and who said that. They both disparage the other from a distance. What's going to happen when they get in the same room and on the same staff?
Yeah. What could go wrong, right?
Right?
I mean, that was a very visual description there, Stephen. That is true because, you know, not only did they take shots at each other through the media, but – you know, in sworn testimony, you know, with Paul Tagliabue, the former commissioner, was the, was the arbiter in that case. And they, you know, Vitt accused Greg Williams of lying. You know, he used that word. He called him a liar. And he just really attacked his character in that testimony. And so now they're reunited on Adam Gase's staff. And I have to think, and I have not talked to Adam Gase. You can bet this question will come up at the Combine in a couple of weeks. But, you know, I have to think, you know, he must have got both of those guys in a room or on a conference call, and they were willing to bury the hatchet and move on because that's a serious – I mean, that wasn't just a little one-time little argument spat because, as you know, Steve, coaches argue all the time. It's part of,
right,
you know, meetings and so forth, but this was more than that. So that is going to be – and you, by the way, Joe Vitt is Adam Gase's father-in-law as well.
Right.
So you know, it'll be a fascinating dynamic on this staff. And Blake Williams, he's Greg's son. You guys know Greg Williams in Buffalo, of course. And, you know, Blake, from what I was told and I reported this, Adam really didn't want him on the staff. And Greg was kind of put off by that. And I think there were some tense moments there. Blake, you know, kind of a reputation for being an abrasive personality in the different places he's worked. But they did find a spot for him in the staff as a defensive assistant. So I'm going to have to keep my eye on the sideline this year as much as the actual field with these guys.
Yeah, and one of the things you got to remember, Greg Williams was suspended for 11 months from the NFL. Joe Vitt was a 6-game suspension. This is all on top of Sean Payton's year-long suspension as well. So this was not just – you're right. This wasn't, a coach is getting into an argument on the practice field or even getting into a shoving match. This was something that affected all of their careers and was really a black eye for the league at the time in which it happened, and they were all central figures in it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now, we know Greg. I think he's going to be good for the Jets. They need some energy on defense. You guys saw the Jets a lot last year, and especially the game at MetLife was just a disaster. I mean, that was probably the worst Jet game I've seen in 20 or 30 years. They had no life on defense, and the coaches, Todd and Casey Rogers, guys, guys accountable.
There's just gonna he's gonna stir it up, and I do think that will be a positive for the Jets.
with Rich Shimini from ESPN, covers the Jets, has covered the Jets for 3 decades. Back to Blake Williams for a minute, Rich. When Greg coached here, Blake was a high school player, senior, I think, at Clarence High School. He used to take reps with the Bills defensive backs, NFL defensive backs, during training camp, believe it or not. But I'm surprised, and I was always stunned by that, a high school player, even the coach's son, taking NFL reps at practice. But I'm also surprised that at the young, what is he, 34 years old, he's developed such a bad reputation. You write about him being a, he rubs people the wrong way. And I guess I didn't realize this, but he's never worked in the NFL, Blake Williams, for any other team than a team for which his father worked, which that's instructive in some way, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you look at it. I mean, he was the linebackers coach in Cleveland last year, and he actually called the defensive plays over the second half of the season, because when Greg moved up to the interim job, he handed the reins on defense to Blake. And, you know, I think he did a reasonably good job on defense over the second half of the year. And so he was the linebackers coach. And Greg, who once called Blake the best young coach that I've ever had on my staff, even though he was obviously biased, but so he comes to the Jets, and you would think he'd be at least a linebackers coach, but he actually took a demotion because he's a defensive assistant. So what does that tell you right there? I think if it were up to Greg solely, he would have been the linebackers coach. But as I said earlier, you know, Adam Gase had to be convinced of this, and there was some tense moments. I think Greg was frustrated that he couldn't get him in as the linebackers coach, so they just basically created a spot for him. He was fired by the Rams, I think, after the 2012 season. I know from talking to people close to that situation. He just little things, you know, nothing major. I know one time he really yelled at a draft prospect, you know, at the scouting combine, you know, when they had those 15-minute meetings. And in one particular meeting, you know, Blake just went off on one of the college kids, one of the players. And I know that really upset people in the Rams organization.
Not cool. Hey, Adam Gase, let's talk about him for a second, Rich. Has he recovered in the public's perception after that near disastrous introductory news conference? What did you make of that news conference, and what do Jets fans think about that now, you know, a month later?
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, that was an example of how social media has taken over the media. I mean, the memes were up by the end of the press conference with that. It was bad. I mean, I was way off to the side, so I did not see his very peculiar eye and head movements during the press conference until afterwards when I saw some of the memes. I just was basing it on, I didn't think it was a very good press conference just based on what he said and what he didn't say.
Mm-hmm.
He really didn't. He looked unprepared. You know, usually the coach comes in, speaks for about 10 or 15 minutes. He gives you his vision of the team, gets the fan base excited, sells his program to the public. But there was really none of that. And I was just really disappointed, you know. And then I saw the memes and I saw the criticism, and it just took off like wildfire. And so, yeah, I think it was really an unfortunate day from the Jets' perspective, from a public relations standpoint. The Jet fans they're desperate. You know, if he can win games, they will take anybody. And I think he's a smart coach. You know, I don't know how good an overall coach he is. He didn't do a great job in Miami, but Jet fans are hungry right now, and they are desperate for a winning program.
Well, we're sitting here in Buffalo, and we signed one of the first people that Adam Gase cut, and Spencer Long, and we're asked. And really, the question for us today, for you, Rich, is what's job one for Adam Gase now? He's assembled his staff. What are their thoughts on the free agent market? What direction are they heading? Where do Jet fans want the Jets team to go in free agency in the draft?
Well, they're going to have about $100 million in cap room. So they got a lot of flexibility. I think they will be in on Le'Veon Bell. I think they'll be a pretty aggressive bidder for his services. It'll probably come down to the Jets and one or two other teams. And they really want a playmaker on offense, someone who could help Sam Darnold develop. They don't really have that guy, especially in the backfield right now. So that's a big priority for them. They'll probably be linked to Antonio Brown, who, you know, as of about a half hour ago, was tweeting out his goodbye to Pittsburgh.
Right.
And, you know, he'll probably be traded. I don't think that would be a very good move for the Jets. I just think he'd be too much of a disruption. And, however, it wouldn't surprise me if they're linked to him somehow. And they got the third pick in the draft. I think they'll come away with a defensive player. Pass rusher is a huge need for them. They have to find someone who can play on the edge and get some pressure on the quarterback. They should be able to get one at three. If someone offers them a deal to move down, I think they would absolutely be open to doing that. You know, it would be a reverse of what they did last year to move up for the quarterback. This year they can recoup some of that draft capital, and I think they're all for that if that situation materializes.
Rich, back to coaching for my last question anyway. You meant Darnold is really the key, isn't he? I mean, a premium draft pick for him last year, a pretty good rookie year. And Adam Gase brings up his coordinator from Miami, Doyle Loggins, to be quarterback's coach and coordinator there. Do they got the right guy to sort of take Sam Darnold forward into his NFL future? What do you think?
Yeah, Loggins is really the number two guy. It's going to be Gase's show in terms of the quarterback, even though, you know, the quarterback, you know, title belongs to Loggins. That's how they sold this to the Jets. Sam and Adam are represented by the same agent, Jimmy Sexton. And, you know, Adam and Sam talked before during the hiring process. Sam came away very impressed and relayed that to the Jets ownership. And I think that was a big factor in their decision for hiring Adam. It is all about the quarterback. They hired him mainly to develop Darnold, to make Darnold a star. And can he do it? I mean, he did a good job with Peyton Manning, but the cynic would say, well, it was Peyton Manning. So,
yeah.
how much did he really do for Peyton Manning? I will say this. I talked to a lot of people around Peyton on that Denver team. He did get Peyton to play at a historic level, which he had never played at before. So 55 touchdown passes in 1 year. So you got to give Greg Gase credit for that. But this is the first time he's working with a young quarterback. He even mentioned that at his press conference. So it's really a little bit different than working with a Peyton Manning or a Jay Cutler.
Now, the Jets are interesting, yeah. Rich. You got your hands full with this team this year.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting year. I mean, the coach is a little kooky, and the like Steve said, the coaching staff might be a powder keg ready to blow. And you got a really interesting quarterback. I do think they'll make a big splash in free agency. So, yeah, it should be a really interesting team. I mean, are they going to overtake the Patriots? That's not going to happen
right
this year or never until Brady retires. But I do think the Jets will be a better team this year.
That sounds vaguely familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Rich, thank you very much.
Thanks
for spending some time with us today. We appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
Rich Cimini joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline presented by Subway Restaurants, proud to be locally owned and operated. Rich Cimini, ESPN NFL Nation Jets beat reporter, covered the Jets for 30 years or more. What did you say? The coaching staff, somebody's waiting to light the fuse?
Yeah, it's just something. It's not.
What did you say?
Either really coaching good. Football or they're just something, you light the fuse and wait for it to explode. I mean, listen, they got a lot of strong personalities. It's a lot like the Cleveland Browns staff from a year ago with Todd Haley and Greg Williams. And Blake Williams is also on that staff, too. Nobody survived it. They're all gone.
Right.
Adam Gase now, and he's bringing, a big part of that with him to the New York Jets. I don't know.
I don't know,
it's interesting, too, and for me, and I know Rich Cimini and a lot of people around the NFL have a different view than I do, and probably rightfully so, I don't think Le'Veon Bell is a guy, and he had mentioned that the Jets are going to be big, heavy bidders on Le'Veon Bell. If that's the case, man, I don't think that's a smart way to go. We've seen too many mid-round to late-round running backs be really, really good in the NFL, and to get in and throw all that cap, they've got $100 million. If they're going to throw a ton of that cap money towards one guy at a position that to me has been a little bit devalued, or at least put in a position where I don't know that Le'Veon Bell is kind of the pass catcher that, say, an Alvin Kamara is with New Orleans Saints, or that kind of thing. I just don't know if that's the smart way to go for the Jets.
I don't think Antonio Brown is either. You mentioned how it reminds you of Cleveland. There's a report out today, in fact, that Hard Knocks, the producers of Hard Knocks and NFL Films, are interested in doing the Jets this year. Manish Mehta reports that NFL Films, they've not spoken to the Jets yet, but they do have an interest in having them be their team in Hard Knocks this summer. A source tells Pro Football Talk there's no chance that that'll take part. It's a brand-new coach, Adam Gase, so The Jets cannot be compelled to be the Hard Knocks team. But that'll be something. They're an interesting bunch. They really are.
Yeah, they are.
With the players they have, I mean, Darnold makes them interesting.
It could.
Our buddy from the Super Bowl, Jamal Adams.
He was great.
He'd be a superstar on Hard Knocks.
Listen, he is a great player and a good guy, and Bills fans are going to see Jamal Adams for a long time.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for Bills fans, because he is a good player, but he's also the type of guy. And I've been around the ring around the rosy with Greg Williams on his philosophies about leadership. Jamal Adams is not going to have a really fun first couple of weeks with Greg Williams. You know, that's the way he works. You know, he puts them through the ringer and see who, see if the cream rises to the top, see if the great players and the great human beings and the true leaders and the truly great men rise to the top of the roster. And sometimes those truly great men head you off at the pass and say, listen, you can forget about that. I don't need to prove that to you. You need to prove you to me. Right. So then all of a sudden, Hard Knocks is killing it in the ratings because that's a big
fight.
That'd
be great.
Oh, man, that's a...
The Jets reportedly have no interest in it, but that'd be great.
Oof. Oh, my gosh. Listen, Greg has been a very successful defensive coordinator in the league for a long time. He has the depth of knowledge and the ability to call plays, install defenses.
You could argue Greg did a really good job with the Browns second half of this year.
They kind of did. He was, 5-3 the last eight games. And a team that was 0-16 the year before and, 2-6? Going into that, or 1-7 going into that. I don't know what it was. But Greg Williams turned that team around. Not turned it around, but certainly they were better with him than they were with Hugh Jackson.
And yet we both know that he comes with, I don't know if it's baggage. It's more complicated than baggage. It's what? Attitude or something that he has that can
he's hard.
He can light a flame. He can light a bomb on a team.
He's hard to be around.
Yes.
He's hard to be around.
And I like being around him.
Oh, yeah.
But
we're friends of his.
Yeah.
But he's hard to be around. We sit down in a production meeting with him as a coach of the Cleveland Browns, and you say, and he starts talking. And because of all the stuff that's happened to him in his past with Bounty Gate, with being fired as a head coach and being bouncing around the National Football League, being suspended for 11 months of the year, being called a liar by a guy who's actually now he's on a staff with again, he talks so much so that you can't ask him tough questions. You know what I mean?
No.
He just starts talking, and he doesn't stop.
Yeah.
He just dominates the meeting, and you can't even bring up another subject.
So I worked with him here. I did the show with him for a couple of years after his Buffalo tenure, and we got along. He came up here, and I think he went to Washington, right, when he left here, defensive coordinator for Washington.
I believe so.
Came up here with Washington, game at the New Era Field, then whatever it was called, Ralph Wilson Stadium, I guess. Yeah. And I went in the Washington locker room just to say hello. I didn't have time to spend a lot of time with Greg. He forced me to come in and sit down with him in his locker room, defensive coordinator locker room, and took 25 minutes of my time telling me how great a job he was doing with Washington. But that's who he is,
Yeah.
And he's engaging. He's kind of charming. But that's who he is. You can't as you said, when he gets talking, you can't stop him. And when he's talking about himself, it's pretty amazing. He's an interesting guy. It'll be an interesting year. We thank Rich Cimini for joining us to talk about it. I want to talk more about the Bills when we return. How would you rank their free agent position needs? What do you think they need? Which positions do they need? Free agency opens a month from tomorrow. The Bills already signed an offensive lineman today, Spencer Long. That's what got us going with Rich Cimini. He played the last year with the Jets, and we'll talk more about that when we come back as well. What do you think of that signing? We've got phone lines open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Come on back. One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker here until 3 o'clock. Connor Orr from SportsIllustrated.com is going to join us at 2 o'clock. Steve, talk about some more of these issues. Bills made news today. They signed Spencer Long to a contract. Offensive lineman, spent 4 years with Washington, 1 year with the Jets. Released by the Jets last Tuesday, a week ago today, and signed by the Buffalo Bills. The Bills signed into a contract. They also re-signed cornerback Lafayette Pitts, who did a lot of good work on special teams for Buffalo this past year. Let's take some phone calls here. Nick on the line from Alden. Hello, Nick. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Welcome to you.
This is a two-part question, I guess. First, the ranking for the free agency, I would think you'd have to everybody wants to jump on the offensive line and the wide receiver, but if you look at the depth of this roster, you have guys like Wyatt Teller, Ike Buttigieg, and others that I think if you give them a chance could solidify this offensive line. Then you look at wide receiver and you have Foster and McKenzie and a lot of young players that if you develop them, I think if you turn Zay Jones into a number one, you have the cast to really spread the defense. And number two, at the number nine pick, is there a chance where we maybe move out of that position and maybe, you know, gain some capital?
And sure. And do what with it? I mean, where do you think the Bills, what personnel moves should the Bills add to their roster?
Well, I'm looking at, you know, free agency and, you know, the earlier caller mentioned defensive end, and I like Ziggy Ansah, but I think you go after someone like Trey Flowers to maybe add some versatility to that defensive front seven, and maybe linebacker. You look at C.J. Mosley out of Baltimore, Za'Darius Smith out of Baltimore. Some of these guys that could be impact players, but also on a rotational basis too, because you know Alexander's getting older. You're not sure how well Milano's going to come back from his injury. These are concerning questions that I think if you just add one or two pieces to this roster, you're going to make them better in the short term and the long term.
That's interesting because you're the first, really one of the few people we've spoken to that thought that, you know, defensive side of the ball, not so much just defensiveness, some D-tech tackle or an edge rusher, but linebacker, that's a stretch. And I don't know that you'll find too many people who will believe that Zay Jones can be developed into a number one receiver with Robert Foster on the roster. Zay Jones as a guy who and you know, as far as the offensive line, the guys you mentioned, those are – I don't know what you're thinking. If those guys like Wyatt Teller or Ike Butker or those guys, Jeremiah Searles, these guys, if they struggled to get on the field this last season when the offensive line of the Buffalo Bills wasn't able to run block and could not move people out of the way, I don't know what you see in them that makes you think they're going to develop into these guys who can be dominant run blockers if they couldn't get on the field this year. And there's no reason to think Matt Milano isn't going to bounce back from a busted leg, fibia break. So I don't know. I don't know if I can agree with you, Nick. I just think you've got to get some guys who have some big-time upside physically, both at wide receiver, offensive line, and I will agree with you, at edge rusher. But for linebackers and those guys, I don't know. I don't know if I can go down that road with you.
From the tweet sheet, when we asked the question, and what do the Bills need, what would be your free agent position needs for the Bills? Taylor Sharman tweets this, and could you see the Bills trading back in the first round because they have so many holes to fill, maybe with the Raiders for their later first-round picks? Yes, I can see that. Absolutely, I can see that. They have done that in the recent past. I could definitely see them hoping, praying, you know, maybe even with the news about the quarterback, right?
Kyler Murray.
Maybe they think, oh, good. Maybe someone's going to be eager enough to jump up to the top 10.
Yeah.
I almost said stupid enough, but so eager that they think we got to get in the top 10 to get Kyler Murray. And yeah, that would benefit the Bills. Absolutely.
Here's the thing. I think if you want to upgrade and do something big time like that, you go out and I think you go into the trade market more so than the free agent market. You go in and get a guy who's a really established player that the team really didn't want to give up, except that they've got a gaping hole over here. Or maybe they've got a great player to position and they need to – and he's coming to the end of a contract. They don't have the money to keep him, and they want to upgrade at another position in the draft. You find somebody like that where you could trade the number 9 pick for a guy like – you know, like an A.J. Green or a Julio Jones or somebody like that, or a number one wideout, a guy like a Keenan Allen's type a player. Those kind of deals are the ones I kind of would look at to say, you know, maybe we could get a guy like that. Maybe you get a couple of offensive linemen for that pick from a team. Who knows? But I don't think anything's off the table for this front office. I don't think there's anything that they wouldn't consider if they thought they were going to make their football team better and if they got good value for it. So I think you can, for me, I think that's one
thing, because it used to be, it never happened very much, and now it usually only happens on draft day or around the draft where you get trades happening for trades for picks and guys like that. But I wouldn't be surprised, and certainly I would probably welcome it if they could get a quality player off another roster by handing them some of our assets that we have in the draft or even on the roster, our roster.
Here's an interesting tweet from the tweet sheet from Norman. It says, please sign Antonio Brown. I understand he's got an ego. I understand he's got an attitude problem. But look how Richie Incognito did for Buffalo. Look how he became a great left guard for the team and got us into the playoffs. Just give the guy a chance. It's worth it.
Richie, Antonio Brown is not Richie Incognito.
No, they're issues are vastly different. Richie Incognito got caught up in a crazy bullying scandal. He became a national outcast, really, for a couple of weeks. We talked about it with Richie when he was here with the Bills.
Yeah.
And then kind of got off the reservation just about a year ago, right?
Yeah.
Antonio Brown quit on his team. That's significant. Richie never quit on his team. Antonio Brown quit on the Steelers on their way to a playoff berth. That's significant. I'm not saying that automatically rules him out of consideration for the Bills. They got to look at it, but that's a big factor. That's a huge factor. I think, there'd be some serious questions to ask and be answered by Antonio Brown for any team that was interested in him, and they would start with that question. What are you thinking last year? Why would you do that to a Steelers team that's kind of on pace to be a playoff team, and you sabotaged it? You undermined it. Well, how can you do that to your team?
That's right.
Isn't that the question?
You're exactly right. Yeah, he's and I said it earlier in the show, he's got to sell himself to every team who talks to him. What happened in Pittsburgh? Answer that question. And it needs to be convincing that you're not, that same thing is not going to happen here. The first time a bump in the road comes, the first time a game comes around and you don't get a catch, are you going to leave? You know, are you going to become a problem? Are you going to become a distraction? Are you going to poison the locker room? Are you going to stop practicing? Are you going to not show up for meetings? Are you not going to work out? Are you going to do all this stuff that you've done in Pittsburgh that makes you expendable after being paid $15 million a year to be the number one receiver on a team that was ostensibly headed for the playoffs, and you just pulled the ripcord on them? Yeah, what happened? Let's hear it, and it better be good.
Yeah. If you missed it, Antonio Brown with a tweet today, the Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver posted a message saying, farewell to Steeler Nation after 9 years. Thank you, Steeler Nation, for a big 9 years. Time to move on and move forward. Apparently, kind of reaffirming his request for a trade, requesting a trade. He would like a fresh start. Does that come in Buffalo? I don't know. I would be surprised, but stranger things have happened. Antonio Brown says it's time to move on. A call here from Joe in Tonawanda. Go ahead, Joe. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. You're covering what I'm going to talk here. Antonio Brown, do you think he might be attracted to us because of Josh Allen is a Roethlisberger type? And do we have the Mega Millions to pay for him? And on the worst case, can New England afford to sign him? Thank you.
Well, the Bills have the money. There's not much question about that. Look, would we be attracted to Antonio Brown? I don't know anything. I don't know much about him other than the fact that whoever pays the most money is probably going to be most attractive to Antonio Brown.
Well, it's not going to be about the money. It's going to be about getting the rights from the Steelers and trading for him.
Right.
That's what's going to happen. How much are you willing to give up for an Antonio Brown? And once you get him, is he going to be the same jerk here as he was there? The one team that is kind of scary to think about is the New England Patriots. That's exactly the kind of guy that could come in. They'd absorb, and they don't have to sell him on their culture. Their culture is successful, and Antonio Brown has been a firsthand witness to that on the games that they've played, important games. So Antonio Brown could land in New England. I mean, that would be the team that would go out and say, listen, we'll bring you in here, but here's the rules. And they would dictate them, and their credibility and their ability to overcome it would ostensibly keep him in line.
He'd be the new Randy Moss.
Exactly.
Here's a question for you, Stephen. I don't have this answer. I like throwing these out there, though. How far along are the Bills in establishing their culture? Certainly you can't match it up against the New England Patriots culture with all the success, six Super Bowls in New England, but have the Bills in year two, now moving into year three of Sean McDermott's tenure, have they established their culture yet? Can you have a good team culture when you only win six games? Did we do this show, or was this before you arrived on the scene? Which comes first, culture or victory?
I think I was here.
I guess that's the question I'm asking. Do you have an established, positive good team culture when you go 6-10? I think the Bills would argue yes.
Oh, I think they would too. I don't think there's any question about it. That no question they need better players, but they got to get the right kind of players. We've had these conversations before. Certainly, a 53 guy roster, okay, plus whoever's on IR, the practice squad. So you got like 60 guys or 60 or give or take guys in the room. If you've got 60 guys like Kyle Williams and Lorenzo Alexander's, here's what that gives you. That gives you the ability to go out and get a guy like Antonio Brown, and they can. The locker room will hem him in and keep him inside the lines.
Even if your team is not winning, can the locker room do that?
Well, you're going to win more games with Antonio Brown than without him, right? But if you have Antonio Brown and then you get also a Le'Veon Bell in there and then also a Vontae Davis, or and then on top of that you've got to sprinkle in a smattering of Johnny Manziel, you can't – all of a sudden it starts to get too big to handle, right?
Yeah.
It starts to be a little bit poisonous. And then you've got a group of guys that hang out, and then they start to buy, and then the whole level drops. Now you're not winning six games, you're winning two. With the same, virtually the same roster, except with three guys, right? So, and they're ostensibly those three guys you brought in are better players, but the other 55 guys aren't playing as good because of those three guys.
Right.
So that's
what you try to avoid.
That's what you're trying to avoid. You can put your arms around some guys who need some help, some Josh Gordons, those kind of guys, but you can't do it for five of them, right? You can't do it for that many, because then it's like that becomes your job every day instead of getting better, instead of game planning, instead of meeting, instead of watching films. You spend your time keeping these guys, on the wagon.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the way it works, and that's where your culture is really good, when you got a bunch of guys who are pulling the same way. The problem is, stereotypically speaking, guys like that, you always need a couple of guys. You just hope they show up on time. You need a couple of those guys. They set a tone. They set a tone of nastiness and physicality in a game that demands it,
All right, a lot to talk about. Antonio Brown says to Steelers fans, thanks for the memories. Time to move on. The Bills signed an offensive lineman, Spencer Long, who's got 44 NFL starts. What do you think of that? And what do you think are the Bills' free agent position needs? What do they really need in free agency, which opens up a month from tomorrow? Got phone lines open. We got tweets for you. You can let us know what the top three Bills' needs are. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-552-550. Steve and I coming back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live. We're back on the air. We're doing it again tomorrow, too, as a matter of fact. No days off. We're like the Patriots from last year. No days off.
Right.
The Bills signed an offense. The Bills don't take many days off. They signed an offensive lineman today, a guy with 44 NFL starts, Spencer Long. 44 of 53 career games played, he started in. All 13 games he played in for the Jets last year, he was a starter. Again, Rich Cimini, I was glad to talk with Rich. We had him on last hour, or earlier this hour, I guess it was. He said, look, he's not a Pro Bowl caliber guard, but I said, is he a starting caliber guard? He said, yeah.
Borderline.
Which is fine. What you're going to get right now, right? Three-year contract. Somebody had the numbers, at least guessing at the numbers. Three-year contract, you're not going to get a Hall of Fame caliber guard at this point, but you're going to get a guy who maybe played in the NFL.
Here's the thing. He wasn't worth $6 million this year to the Jets as a guy who they thought probably might be a backup in a best-case scenario. And they released him because he was going to get a $3 million roster bonus. And so the Bills get him for less than that per year.
Jason Lockenfour, can I interrupt?
Yeah.
Jason Lockenfour says it's 3 years, $13 million for Spencer Long, and up to $15 million with incentives. So what are we talking about? $4 million a year.
That's kind of going right. Yeah, backup or guard, and if he plays, he's up to a $5 million a year guy. Okay. That's what he is. This isn't a blockbuster trade, but it certainly gives you a chance to get some competition, maybe get better in a game during the season where if guys start to get clipped off, you got a quality guy to put in there. A guy's not going to be too big for the moment's not going to be too big for him, you know? And certainly if he comes in and the chemistry's right, all of a sudden the guy does play pretty good, which is I've seen happen a lot.
Coming
so
off
we'll
an,
see.
A year with injuries too, right? To his hand. What did he say?
A tendon in his hand.
Tendon in his hand.
He was trying to snap.
I can't.
That stinks, man.
Oh, that game was rough, Steve.
Oh, I know.
I watched
it. I remember hearing about it too. You know, it gets around because he's got to keep snapping it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like until they take him out, he's got to stay in there. And Todd Bowles got to say, bro. And I don't. Here's the thing. Todd Bowles, you got to go under center.
Yeah.
Right? Don't go shotgun.
Yeah.
Just go under center. Stop doing that. It's crazy.
It was bad. And I found myself watching that game, Jets, I think it was in Miami because the Bills were at the Jets the next week. I watched that game, not mad or upset about Spencer Long. I'm mad about the Jets coaching staff. What are you doing?
Yeah.
This guy's struggling. You can't ask him to do shotgun snaps. You probably can't ask him to be the center anymore. So they took him out finally, but it took a while.
It's crazy.
Lock on Four has this interesting note, too, about Kareem Hunt. 1 year deal with the Browns for the veteran minimum. No guarantees. If he hits his roster bonuses and workout bonuses, it would top out over $1 million. And, of course, he'd be a restricted free agent next year. So not a lot of money for Kareem Hunt. And, of course, the Browns, none of us know how many games he will play either, right? Because he's on the commissioner's exempt list. They're going to have to complete their investigation and find out what they want to do with
the Browns,
Kareem Hunt.
For the Browns, they're risking nothing except public opinion. That's it.
And that's a big risk.
It's a big
public opinion hit.
I think around the league it is, but in Cleveland, I mean, this is a team that drafted Josh Gordon, drafted Johnny Manziel. And then, you know, they've been a mess. They went 0-16. This probably seems like nothing to them, this PR hit, from what they've been through the last 5 years, right? So, yeah, why not? Kareem Hunt went to school at Toledo. Grew up just outside of Cleveland. So, you know, there's that. John Dorsey, the GM of the Cleveland Browns, is the guy who drafted him in Kansas City. So there's a lot of familiarity there. And they're risking nothing except this PR hit. The money's nothing for a guy who led the league in rushing.
I would not dismiss the PR hit because I do think that's significant. But maybe they feel they can take it. They can handle it.
I guess they think they can handle it.
A tweet I want to read to you, Steve, because a specific question for you. Bills Forever tweets in, while looking at the draft needs on our offensive line, Deion Dawkins had real problem with penalties. Steve, he asks, can that be coached out of a player?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Of course.
You get better, typically. You don't commit as many penalties, right? You don't feel like you need to commit penalties, holding in particular.
Coaching matters, and that's it's going to matter, and it's going to help him. They'll coach him up, and he'll stop doing it, or he'll be someplace else. I mean, that's just the way it is. It's the bottom line business. And what were they going to do last year? Bench him for who?
Connor McDermott? No,
probably not. You know, you think about it. I mean, there's when that offensive line gets better, that stuff goes away quick. And the coaching staff has a lot to do with it. No question. Of course you can coach that out of him.
One more tweet I want to get to here from Nathan Bonner. Love the signing of Spencer Long. More depth. He can start immediately if need be, and it opens up options for the draft. Would love a trade out of the number 9 spot, sign another offensive lineman, and bring in a couple of wide receivers, and Thomas Davis, who can still play. That's an agenda. That's an ambitious, realistic agenda, I think, right? Bring in a couple of wide receivers? Yes, I see that happening. Sign another offensive lineman. I think they can draft some offensive linemen in particular. I don't think they want to pay a ton of money for offensive linemen, although Spencer Long at 4-point-something million a year, that's not insignificant. But, yeah, I think you're on the right track there, Nathan Bonner. That's kind of the path I would take if I were the Buffalo Bills.
Right. And, listen, I think a lot of it, of what the Bills do, is going to be dependent on options available. Particularly, obviously, in the draft, when you sit there and you say they pick him, if they do this, we do that. If these two teams do this and this, and we're stuck with this, you know, that kind of thing. That's a lot of that is going to happen in the draft. Free agency is a little bit different. You can get your ducks in a row and then pull the trigger on a couple of three different guys and have it ready to go. And like we saw with Micah Hyde and Jordan Poirier, the first time Sean McDermott had an option to do something with personnel, he pulled the trigger on those two guys, and they've been phenomenal. Hopefully they can do that again.
One call to squeeze in here. And is he still there? Chris in West Seneca? Are you gone, Chris? I think he's gone. How about Mike in North Tonawanda? Hello, Mike. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. How we doing?
Good.
Good.
I'm going to tell you, you scared the heck out of me. I didn't know where you guys were last week.
By design. We didn't want anyone to know where we were.
Well, I was just getting ready to give Spectrum Cable hell, and I thought I'd have to boycott them.
Well, I appreciate the loyalty. Thanks.
I wish I had known. I mean, it really bothered me when I thought the show had been pulled. Anyways.
Well, it'll shock us, too. Yeah. You want me to leave that alone?
Yeah.
Steve doesn't want me to talk about that.
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay.
What can I talk about?
The temptation of Antonio Brown is strong, and I feel it. But I'm just leery of having another salary cap disaster that could turn into a locker room cancer. And that's why I would never want Le'Veon Bell here either. Those guys put themselves above their teams. And, I mean, we have a different culture here now. Let's not screw it up. As far as what we need in the draft, let's not forget that our defensive line doesn't put the most pressure on quarterbacks. We need a stud tackle or end and an edge rusher. We need offensive linemen, and we definitely need receivers, a fierce wide receiver that will fight for the ball instead of sitting around and watching other players make plays on the ball. Guys, I know I had a lot on the agenda today.
Yeah.
I'm a little messed up, so I'm going to let it go now.
No, you're not messed up, Mike. Thanks for calling. We're sorry we gave you a scare last week. In fact, see, Mike just gave me two solid ideas for future Twitter polls.
Did he?
Yes.
Jot them down so you don't forget them.
Can I spit them out to you right now?
Yeah, okay. Let me.
What type of receiver do the Bills need and want? I suggested that to our producer, Jay Harris, today. I was kind of outvoted, but I think that's a legitimate Twitter poll because he had a type of receiver he wants, a guy who will go get the ball. Yeah, that's part of it. But do they need a speed guy? Yes. Do they need a guy who a red zone target, big tall guy in the red zone? Yes. Do they need a guy who will fight for the ball and move the chains? Yes. They need all of it. But maybe we can drill down a little bit more in the next couple of days here and get more specific. Exactly what type of receiver would you like to see the Bills sign? Now I forgot my second. Mike gave us a second idea for a Twitter poll. What was
his?
It? Was what did he? You have a
draft
list?
Draft DT, edge rusher, defensive tackle, edge rusher, wide receiver, ferocity.
Yeah,
what Antonio Brown and
Le'Veon Bell. Antonio Brown, simple.
Right.
This could be tomorrow's Twitter poll.
What
should the Bills sign Antonio? Should the Bills trade for Antonio Brown? With everything we know about him, with everything that happened in Pittsburgh, I'd be interested to see what you know. Not that. Well, yeah, we do get gauge. We can gauge what Bills fan think from our Twitter poll. Can we do that tomorrow? You don't have to commit to it now. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
All right. We'll
should the Bills trade for Antonio Brown? We better do it soon because somebody might.
Yeah, it might be a moot point by tomorrow.
But that's a legitimate question.
It is.
There are, you know, Mike just said
he doesn't want to give up the culture.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, but he also said he understands why people.
It's a temptation.
It's a temptation.
Because that guy can play.
Yes, he can.
And here's the thing, too. You, this thing about what kind of wide receiver you want. And I was thinking, how do you quantify that? How do you put that in the poll? Well, listen, do you want a guy like Julio Jones or A.J. Green, which, yeah, okay. Or do you want a guy like a Tyreek Hill or an Antonio Brown, a smaller, faster guy like that? Or do you want a guy in his prime, a guy like Golden Tate, who can catch the short ones, a guy like Wes Welker, a guy like Julian Edelman, one, you know, like Cole Beasley down in Dallas, one of these slot guys.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of receiver are you going to look for?
That's a good Twitter poll, isn't it?
I'm starting to feel you now. So, yeah, we could, you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
You do know what I
mean. That
was
my Twitter poll.
Yeah.
tune in tomorrow. Find out what our Twitter poll is tomorrow. It's going to be exciting. All right, we're taking a break here. When we come back, staff writer for Sports Illustrated, Connor Orr will join us. Off-season storylines in the AFC. What's he got for the Bills and the rest of the AFC teams? Plus a lot more than that, including some of today's developments, Antonio Brown, etc. Connor Orr, when we come back, come on back with us. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health on Buffalo Bills Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's better over here. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.